season it is, so I got a question for you. Are you playing your position? Yeah, I knew I'd have some of you here this morning because they rotated that other game tonight. So that allowed you to be more sanctified when you came to church. You wouldn't be distracted. But I want to talk to you about this idea of playing your position, because there is something about being on a team and being a person who fulfills the responsibility that allows you to reflect the glory of God when you get it. And so today I want to take you to a game that I thoroughly enjoyed watching. And it was quite a game, the national championship game between Alabama and Clemson. And it came all the way down, and just hold it there for me, it came all the way down to the last minute of the game, and Clemson was down by 3 points. And they were talking about, well, they're going to get themselves in a position, and maybe they'll go for a field goal, but Dabo had no intention of going for no field goal. He was going for a win. And what was interesting to watch was what God was doing through a testimony of players afterwards. I thought was very interesting. I don't know how many of you watched some of the conversations of the interviews afterwards. But as this play developed, it's very interesting. I don't want you to watch it. It's a nice 7-second play here. Let's go ahead and play that for me. Terry comes across, catches the touchdown, and it's there. And everybody's going to get excited about who? That quarterback and that wide receiver. But I want to point out a couple things to you. If you'll watch this, and I'm going to stop it right there. What's that? All right. Let's play it again. But when they play this again, let's stop it right there. Can we do that? It's not cooperating with us. But interesting enough, this guy coming right here, he's going to make the move to get the ball. This guy here, he's normally going to get the ball, but he's not going to. If you watch what happens, it's called a pick. He takes that guy out. All right? But this guy over here, all right, he's a ball carrier. This is a guy used to carrying the ball. He always, you know, when you get down here, those guys always want the ball. He doesn't get the ball. Watch what he does. Right here. Bam. If he didn't stop that guy, that play wouldn't happen. So when we watch a play like this, the interesting thing, let's do it one more time. Then how come the quarterback gets the ball? Because this guy down here makes sure that he gets it. So when the play happens, it comes straight to his hands. A bad snap, he doesn't get it. Two people are going to get exalted, that wide receiver and that quarterback, but every person on the Clemson team had to play their part for the touchdown to happen, for the national championship to be won. And the coolest thing I thought was, is for the glory that was given to Christ afterwards by men who acknowledged that they were serving their Savior in the way they played the ball, in the way they played the game. And so it's an interesting thing when you think about this idea that you are, if your faith is in Christ, that you are in the body of Christ, that you're a part of the team of Christ. And the question is, are you playing your position? And so for the next 3 weeks, I want to talk to you about this idea that you're a part of a team, that you're a part of a family. You're a part of a body, okay? And so look with me here in Ephesians chapter 4, and I will read 7 through 13. We're going to do some overlap each week, so you can be looking forward to what's coming. But I want to take the time, because it's critical for you and I to understand what God's calling us to do and to be. Because you can move from being a good team to being a great team by getting everybody playing their part. All right? So God has a plan for us to move ahead. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captive, and he gave gifts to men." Now, this expression that he ascended, what does it mean except that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? And he who descended is himself also he who ascended far above the heavens so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. When we get to where Christ calls us to, we will look like Christ. So, you know, this is what we were watching was a scoring play. What's a scoring play in the kingdom of God? It is to become more like Christ. And every choice and every play that you respond to Christ allows him to be expressed through you. He says, that's the goal in the family. And we're going to show you next week, we'll be talking about, are you a team player? But how the family has to work together. But this week, understand that you have been given a position. He says there in verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given. Now, we all understand the idea of general grace, or many of you, that the fact that God blessed you today. You got up and you were still breathing, you know? And God blessed you today, and some of you were like, hey, it wasn't snowing, you know? It wasn't exactly sunshiny out there, but you're enjoying the graces of God in life. But this is a specific idea here that God gives us a specific grace. And so I want you to see this basic principle to explore here today is this, that Christ gives each member of his team the ability to serve others. He gives each one of us an ability to serve. And it's called here, he gives each one of us a grace. And then if you'll look down there in verse 7, he says, and there's some graced people that he gives to the church. We'll be talking about that next week. I get excited about verse 11 because I'm in there. You know, my gift's in there. You know, we always like that. Hey, when you get called, your play gets called when you're on a team. That's exciting. You want that to happen. When I was playing football, it wasn't always a pretty picture when my number got called. But I like it in the kingdom. It's better. I play better. But each one of you has a grace if you have Christ. Because when Christ comes in, he comes with a gift. He comes to do something in your life. He comes to equip you with an ability, an enhancement, a supernatural capacity to make a difference in this family, in the eternal family of God, and in eternity. There is a significance to this whole thing. And so you have a spiritual capacity that affects spiritual realm. Think about that. The spiritual realm. It's far bigger than today. And it's far bigger than just us. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, we have the same truth expressed just a little bit different. Read this with me. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. When we put our faith in Christ, the Bible says he puts his Spirit in us. When the Spirit comes in, he comes in with an individual manifestation. In fact, there can be more than one spiritual gift, but he comes in and he says he's going to express himself through you. You are, did you see this? The manifestation. That is the demonstration, the expression of the Spirit of God in this place, in these relationships. For what purpose? So you can shine? No. For the common good. All right? We have all seen teams with fantastic players play horrible, have we not? On almost any sport, fantastic players, but they can't figure out how to play for the common good. They play for themselves. They play for the highlight reel. And I tell you what, it doesn't matter whether it's football or basketball. If you don't play for the common good, you will not consistently win. Is that true? That's a true story right there. All right. So when we think about this, what you have is not for you. It's for us. Any thought? It's for us. And so he puts it another way in 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. I'd like you to read this. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, we're going to go to another verse, but before we do, notice what he says. He said, I want you to employ it. There is no unemployment in the kingdom of God. There's no unemployment in the body of Christ. Now, there are people looking for unemployment. There are people not showing up for work. But he says, you've been given a gift. He says, use what you have been given. You have a place in the family to be a steward. That's a manager. Exact same concept, exact same word. Manager of the grace that you've been given. Something that's been entrusted to you. Now you're to manage that to make a difference. And he goes on to say, read this with me. Whoever speaks is to do so as the one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. Whether you're speaking or whether you're acting, whatever the performance is, you're to do it in such a way that the glory goes back to him. That the manifestation is of God. So that when they finish whatever it is that you're doing, they're noticing what God has done in you and through you. All right? Why? Because this is the intention. The last part of the verse says this. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen? He deserves the glory. And so we all want to see it go back to him. And so you play in such a way that the glory goes to him. In the game that I just highlighted afterwards, the losing coach, Mr. Saban, was interviewed. And it was interesting as a coach what he was thinking about. And I don't know how many of you watched that, but it was like, well, if we would have just made one play, if we wouldn't have had that penalty, everything in his mind was going to the positions that didn't work the way they were supposed to. And it seemed like, now this is just James reading in, okay, as a sports person, somebody was a little disappointed that the glory didn't go to him that day. He was expecting the crown. He was expecting to become the man who'd achieve more than anybody else. He was expecting to continue a record that nobody else has had. He is an incredible coach. I don't know if he's an incredible person, but he's an incredible coach. But the other coach, when he got the chance to speak, spoke to the glory of Christ. Very interesting. He spoke to the glory. He had the chance to take the shine and says, yeah. No. He gave the glory to Christ. And that is our chance. Is when you do what God calls you to do, you get a chance to give glory to Christ. That's the goal. It's not so you get up and have your happy dance in the end zone. You know? It's so that what happens draws attention and honor back to him. All right? So when we talk about this idea that you've been given an ability to serve, then we go over a very, 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 very basic concept. Believers are servants. That's who we are. We're servants. To serve the King of Kings who served us. And so I want to encourage you with this idea that you would play your part on the team. That you would do what he has gifted you to do. That you would show up. All right? Because you're a part of God's team. You're a part of God's family. You're a part of God's body. You have a gift. What does that mean? If you have a gift, it equals you have a function to fulfill. They're by the very nature of the fact that he gave you something, that means there's something that he wants to accomplish in and through you. All right? And we're going to go into some of the specifics in the next couple of weeks, but one of the things I want you to understand, it is not just in church settings that you can exercise your gift. Now, when we come together as a family or we come together in our small groups, the idea is that you're serving in a way, you're displaying what Christ is doing in and through you. But you can use your gift, mine happens to be exhortation, in any situation. You know, before they made parts of my mouth not work properly on Friday. I was sitting in a dentist chair and praying about the appointment. You know, it wasn't one of those ones you really enjoy. It was a two-hour appointment. And but thinking about the people who were going to be serving me and saying, how do I serve them? How, and like I said, I got a chance to speak just a couple of words before then. All of a sudden, parts of my body were not functioning very well. Do you know that feeling? You know? And they say, oh, he'd like a little drink? Oh, yeah, I'm dribbling all down the front of myself. See, if your body don't function well, you can't do what it's designed to do. And that's true of the church. If you don't take the gift you have and function with it, we won't get to where God wants us to be. All right? But we're not talking about losing our salvation. We're talking about what could the score be? All right? What could the score be if we'd go for it? So it says here, he gave us this grace to each one according to the measure of Christ's gift. There's so much here that I don't get to touch today, but I'm just going to open a few doors for you. You get to go explore it. The measure of Christ's gift. The measure of that which is reserved and revealed through Christ. He says, that's this vast reservoir of wealth. He says, it's given to you according to that. You have far more than you know. Far more than you know. There's far more potential than you know. I know I don't know. So I'm just telling you, you don't know. All right? There is more to know as that there's this measure of grace that's been given. All right? And so if you have that gift, if you have that function, I want to invite you to accept your assignment. Accept your assignment. See, it may not be the assignment you wanted. As I was sharing with you, I'm thinking that halfback, as he lined up there next to the quarterback, was thinking, oh man, I could be scoring the winning touchdown for the national championship. I lived my whole life for this. What am I going to do? I'm going to smack somebody. That's his job. I'm just going to go get hit somebody. You know, and the other receiver is going out. He says, oh, I could be the one catching this. What's my job? I'm going to knock somebody down. Oh. Do you understand what I'm saying? You've got an assignment. Are you willing to fulfill it? Are you willing to let him show you who you are and what you could do? I was not a good football player in high school. I loved to play football, but I just was not a good football player. Being 120 pounds at 5'2 might have been part of the factor, but there were some ADD issues that were going on as well. And I can remember I was trained to be a running back and to be a cornerback, and I can still remember the game. We were being slaughtered by Eureka. I think it was about 45-0 when I got to go show my star capacity because they carried off a defensive end. And coach says, hey, James, you're going in as defensive end. I'm like, defensive end? Have you seen the size of those guys? Have you ever trained me to play defensive end? Have you ever even given me a snap at defense? I'd never. You're in. You know what I'm saying? Oh, this is a very quick conversation in your head. You said nothing to your coach. I'm getting on the field. I wanted to play. And the assignment that you're given is given by Christ. It's not your choice. It's your choice is whether you play to the capacity he gives you to play. But he's going to decide where the glory comes. He's going to decide what happens. It was not glorious. Okay, I'll just share that with you. Maybe we'll tell you the rest of that ugly story some other time. I had the quarterback by the shoulder pads as he completed his touchdown. Yeah. That close to being a star, and you're a skunk instead. I mean, that's how the game plays tonight. But I'm here to tell you, you don't get to choose your assignments. And in those assignments, sometimes it doesn't work out the way you thought it should, the way you wanted it to go. But Christ has a plan and a purpose for you that's going to influence all eternity. So over in Romans 12, before he starts talking about their gifts, he says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, that you would present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Show up. You know, one of the key issues of being a person who functions is that you connect in the family. If you attend and if you serve, you're already there. That's about 95% of what's necessary, is to show up and make yourself available for his service. So, what does he then say? He says, it's an interesting statement. It's a quote out of Psalms 68:18. So it's another way of correlating. This is an Old Testament verse. So I've already taken you two other New Testament verses. He says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. He's referring to a quote, a messianic statement from Psalm 68, talking about when Christ ascended, he had this triumphant ascension. And he, as a general, would march into his home city, and there would be this victory parade. They would have captives in the military issue. They'd have the captives dragging behind them, but they'd also have the spoils of war that he would then entrust and give away gifts to those who were a part of his army, a part of his team. And so that's this picture that he says. So he does this kind of digression. He says, now this expression that he ascended, okay, speaking there of course, the resurrection of Christ and his return to heaven, what does it mean except that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? And he who descended is also himself he who ascended far above all the heavens so he might fill all things. Now right here, we could take this really cool trip onto a whole bunch of different passages. They're in your bulletin notes. I'll encourage you to take that exploration yourself. What happened to Christ when he died for us? Well, friends, the one thing that I see is that he gave these gifts because he descended. Do you understand that before there was the victory, there was the suffering? There was a price that was paid, and Christ humbled himself greatly for me and for you, didn't he? He humbled himself. Just to come to earth is a humbling, and that's the idea of the incarnation, becoming a man. But he didn't just become a man. He lived in the confines of a human body, and then he allowed himself to be publicly humiliated through what? Through crucifixion. So it wasn't just incarnation, there was the crucifixion where he was beaten and then he was nailed to that cross for you and for me, bearing our sin. And then in that crucifixion, there was what? The final aspect of it, the execution, the very snuffing out of his very life that he gave for us, descending into the ground, being buried. And to some in this passage, I'll read this just as being as the burial. To others, it's the idea that there is the descent into Sheol or descent into Hades, where there's a whole victory that was brought when he proclaimed, I am life, I'm resurrection and life. But right here, he descended to serve requires humility. It's the character of a servant, is to be humble. The one who was all glorious humbled himself to serve you and me. Sometimes in the body of Christ, I'm surprised by the attitude of those who are following Christ, or who say they're following Christ. Because I'll find people who are very mad at God because of the plays that he didn't give to them. I thought this would happen in my life. I was expecting to be able to do this. I wanted this spot. And if you've ever been in church, have you ever seen a fight in church? Or not in a Sunday morning kind of thing, but there's conflicts, aren't there? There's personalities of people. I wanted that position. I heard of a church that a person wanted, very generously donated money for a very expensive organ for the church, and he named the specific type of organ that he wanted. Only problem was that somebody else in the church thought a different organ was a better organ, and they also made a donation if a specific brand of organ would be purchased. ripped their little church right down the middle. Because neither one was willing to allow the other brand of organ to be played in the church. Hello? But it's that thought. Am I willing to embrace the humility of the assignment that he gives me? You know, in every household, there's a toilet. And somebody has to clean it. Isn't that right? There's windows. Somebody has to wash them. There's dishes. Somebody has to do that. Friends, we can't look and say, well, I don't do that. No, no, no. I do whatever he tells me to do. Isn't that right? That's the assignment that we're given. And I can remember some assignments by coaches and thinking, why in the world are you asking me to do this? I can't do what you're asking me to do. And yet in that discipline of the experience, what? You're developed as a person, right? And it affects the whole development of the team. We'll talk more about that again next week. So he descended, but he didn't just descend. He what? He ascended. So the one who died for us did not stay dead. Hallelujah. He did not stay. He rose again. So we have the resurrection, all right, where it says he was declared to be the Son of God with power. The man who died arose, all right? So there was the resurrection. And then after the resurrection, there was the ascension. While his disciples watched, he ascended right back into heaven. Angels came and said, hey, quit looking at him, get back to work. That's modern paraphrase by James. But that's pretty close to what it was. You can check it out there in Acts chapter 1. But once he got to heaven, he didn't just come in. No, 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 no. He was given the place at the Father's right hand. That was the glorification. So you had a resurrection, you had the ascension, and you had the glorification. This one is now King of Heaven. He's the head of the church. How did he get there? After the process of humiliation. There is the glorification. So Christ humbled himself greatly for you, but Christ is exalted greatly overall. Did you see that? It says that when he ascended, he ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. I'm so glad Jesus didn't stay dead. Well, that's what's different about Christianity, is we don't worship a dead leader. When you go to his tomb, it's empty. That's completely different than every other religion. Okay? And so he ascended is stating that the conqueror was given that exalted honor for who he was. But when he ascended, go back to verse 7. Verse 8, he gave the gifts. So I want you to understand that this the descending, the humiliation of serving us, the ascending, his exaltation over us, and yet what? And then it is out of the work of Christ that you are given your work. Do you understand? That there is a gift given to you because of what he has done for you. And everything we have flows from his life and from his work. It's a dependency upon him. So you are a part of something. But get this. It is bigger and greater than you. That's part of what's fun to play on a team. Is there's so many people involved. And there's just a different perspective. It's like, hey, it's not just me. It's us. But it's not just us. Do you understand that you're on a team that currently is working in India? That you're on a team that's currently working in Ethiopia? You're on a team that's currently working in Ghana? You're on a team that's currently working in LA? That you're on it. Are you with me here? That it's bigger than us, but your work here is impacting their work there. And their work there is then impacting even more. And it's that expansion going on through the Philippines, through the Pregnancy Care Center, that service that you are doing by whether it's the gifts that you give or the labor that you offer, it's making something bigger than you and me. Listen. It's not about you. It's about a local, global reflection of Christ. And it's not just about today. It's about eternity. It's about somebody else's eternal destiny. I got to share that this week. Watch somebody make that choice. Awesome. That's what it's all about. Angels in heaven are having a party. But friends, it's not merely a physical act of service that you do. It's a spiritual act of worship as a response to Him. He says, it's not a preacher up here saying, hey, do this. Come on, up and at him. Let's go. That's pretty much how I coached. But this, it's about understanding who He is. You see, do you know who you serve? When you do, it'll change how you serve. I serve the King of Kings. I serve the Lord of Lords. I serve the one who gave Himself for me. I can get no higher calling than that. That is what gets me up in the morning. That's what puts me in the pulpit Sunday after Sunday. This hour here is the fun hour, okay? But there's a lot of not so fun hours to get here. But it don't matter, because who it's for is all that matters. That's what it's about. And so when you recognize and believe the truth about your position and the place that you have been assigned and what you could actually accomplish if you did what He's asked you to do, it'll motivate you. So if you're finding yourself unmotivated, I want you to look back in and say, what am I not believing about the Savior? What am I not believing about what He has declared to me? Because you and I do not just go to church. We are the church. Amen? Why don't you try that? We are the church. Say that. We are the church. Go ahead, look at that person next to him. Say, we are the church. Some of you are not very convincing. Try that again. We are the church. Sometimes you don't want to be. Isn't that truthful? Sometimes I don't want to show up. Sometimes I don't want to have to sacrifice. I don't want to forgive that person. I don't. Did you hear the start of the verse? The start of that sentence? No, we're a servant. I isn't show up in servant. It's not in there. Listen, that He might fill all things. It's all about Christ. Whatever you do with the gift Christ gave you, it declares your view of Christ. Think about that. That whatever you do with the gift or gifts that Christ gave you, it declares your view of Christ. In the last few weeks, there have been a few NFL coaches who are no longer employed for the teams that they were formerly employed by. Because the owner decided that the way they were doing things wasn't reflecting back to them what they wanted to see. Isn't that right? I heard a discussion by some of the talking heads, and one of them was saying, he says he's lost. He's lost the locker room. You can just tell that they are not playing for Him anymore. You never heard a church called a locker room. But this is God's locker room, friends. This isn't really where all the playing happens. This is where some of it happens, okay? But we're going out into a kingdom that's against our King. And we're playing for Him. And it's what you do and how you live your life and how you love one another and how you serve together is what will reflect back on Christ what you think about Him. It shows, there's a belief system going on. You can exalt the Savior with your service. You ever been to a restaurant when the person who came to serve you didn't exactly bless you? Do you know that feeling? And what was the feeling? I'm not going back there. wait a minute, it was just one person. And they changed the reputation for you of the whole restaurant. Are you with me? Your response, the way you served the Savior, reflects back to other people. Well, if that's what a Christian is, wait. You don't get it. Don't vote on one Christian. They are every day, aren't they? Every day, there's people out there deciding whether or not your Christ is worth serving based on how you're living for your Christ. That's heavy responsibility. But you've been given an ability to reflect glory to Christ by the way that you serve, by the Spirit of Christ that's inside of you. And so our attitude can honor him. Our action can bring him glory. But you have to be on the team. You know, you don't just show up. You have to be on the team. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, we have this statement about God's grace for us. Would you read it with me? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Friends, as I talk about this idea of working, as I talk about this idea of serving, please don't miss this. You do that when you've trusted the one who worked the greatest work. Our works don't get us saved. That's what he says. Not as a result of works. My works flow from trusting his work. All right? It is that work that I need to go after. All right? And so grace, remember we received the gift of grace. What's grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Okay? And so grace is not earned. It's received. It's something that you believe that then makes you saved. He says, by faith, we are saved. Okay? So, God works through what Christ has done and offers that to you and to me as a gift. It's not, if I do this much, I'll be saved. No. If I trust what he's done. See, every other religion in the world will tell you, do this and you'll get right with God. God says, I did this, believe it, and you'll be right. It's a difference between do and done. Christ has done it all. When he finished the work on the cross, he said what? It is finished. It's a finished work. I'm trusting his work. So that's how you get saved, by trusting the finished work of Christ. So then what's all this stuff about working? James, you've been talking about working all morning. Well, the next verse in Ephesians 2 says this. Read it with me. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. You're his work. Sometimes when we're serving, we get really hung up on what we think we're producing. I do. Oh, man. I have never finished a sermon and went, it couldn't have been any better. Never done it. It's like, I should have. It's his work. Can you relax into him? Let him do. It's a discipline. It's a step. It's a journey. But it's his workmanship. You were created in Christ. We're not created by our good works. No child brought themselves into existence. Once they were born, they found out they were created for work. Isn't that right? You step into responsibility having been born. So when you've put your faith in Christ, you're born again. And then there is a workmanship of good works. It doesn't get you saved. It's because you are saved that you do something for Christ. God is working a work in you right now. From the moment you believe till when? All eternity. Isn't that an amazing thought? All eternity. He started something in you, and he says he'll never let go. He'll never stop. So what's your response to the one who's working in you? What I'm inviting you to do is say, accept the assignment. Accept the assignment. Step into the work, you see. Because the goal of the gifted is to glorify to exalt the giver. That I will live in such a way that I will exalt him who gifted me. It's interesting, going back to that football story. The receiver who caught the touchdown was a walk-on player. He didn't have a scholarship. He showed up to play, did what he was told to get himself to the place. Until that last year, he got a scholarship, and I actually watched the thing where they were giving him a scholarship. And Renfro was his name. And he said, I'll earn this. You've given something, right? But then you do something with what you've been given that gives glory for the gift. Are you following me that? It's that you're going to honor that. And so, friends, I want you to understand that our goal is, as we serve, is that we would honor the giver. You know, if you put money in the box, it's not about, hey, notice me, I'm putting something in. We don't do that here. That's why putting it in a box takes all the glory out of the processional aspect of giving out. It's your private gift of your heart, but your service is to give him the glory, because you are what? You're graced, all right? You are gifted. You are then needed, and you are then responsible to do what God has called you to do with what he's given you. Your attendance, your participation, your relationships in the church family are this expression of ministry that allows Jesus Christ to be glorified by the way you honor Christ. And I want you to think about something, because some of you are struggling on some of this because you can't do what you used to do. I'm here to tell you, your age is not an issue. It is not an issue. Moses got the call at 80. He started 40 years before in his own flesh trying to do it for God. And God says, I got a little assignment for you. And he spent the next 40 years in the desert. Some of you know what that feels like. I did 10, okay? But God did a work through him. But some of you are saying, well, someday I'll be able to serve God. Josiah became the godliest king of Israel, of actually Judah. They'd already split by that time. At what age? 8. 8 years old. And they said there was never another king like him that served the Lord with all his heart, with all his strength, with all his soul. Nobody else, at 8 years old. So I don't care whether you're 8 or you're 80 or you're plus or minus. Anyway, you can serve the king. Our youth have made some of the greatest impact in ministry here. Through Vacation Bible School, children's ministry, on the worship team here this morning. I came 26 years ago. A little gal I'd met here, she told me, James, if you could you find a replacement for me? I'm not very good at my job. I said, why? I says, what do you do? She says, I'm a Sunday school teacher. And she says, well, she says, I'm not a very good teacher. I just love these kids for Jesus, though. She did that for 50 years. In this church. She still didn't feel like she was very good at it. My boys went through that class. I'm here to tell you, the gift that she was given, she was giving back glory to the Father. Hey, there were skills that she didn't have. It didn't matter. The heart that she had came through. Your age doesn't matter. Some of you also are so frustrated because you have blown it so bad at some point in the past, you say, I'm done. Your failures are not an issue. God uses failures. Isn't that right? Jacob was a liar and a schemer. He spent a few years with another liar and schemer before he found out how to walk with God, didn't he? But God used him as the founding father of Israel. He raised a boy named Joseph, came out pretty good. bunch of his boys didn't. Joseph came out all right. Friends, some of you are wrestling with stuff like that. Peter denied his Lord. Thomas doubted. Guess what? They were martyrs for the cause. Faithful in the end. You can blow it. Just get back up. There's another play to play. You know how you can tell if you got another play? Check it. Do you got a pulse? There's another play coming. Let's go. Let's go. Up on the field. Let's go. You got to play. Hudson Taylor. You know him by the name, don't you? You know what? When he was on the field, his fellow missionaries did not like him. Very unorthodox. Very dysfunctional. Was used to plant China Inland Mission. Hundreds of missionaries evangelized that nation. And those who evangelized later became the pastors. China now has over 100 million Christians. But he looked like a failure a good portion of his life. You know what the issue is, friends? The issue is obedience. That's the issue. You got to step up. Saul was the tallest man in all Israel, head and shoulders above everybody. He was the Goliath killer. He wouldn't do the job. So God kind of embarrassed him just a little bit. Sent a little boy with a slingshot to take him out. What did David do? David obeyed. Paul wrote these letters we're reading. Where? From prison. Wouldn't be like where you'd want to be. You may not be where you want to be. You do what God's called you to do where you are, and God will use it for his glory. You have an ability. You have an opportunity. You have a responsibility. Glorify the King. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. So I want to just encourage you today. Would you please accept your assignment? Fulfill your potential. By all means, exalt Christ greatly, because he is what it's all about. Amen? Amen. Father, I just want to thank you for the assignments you give.